Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34 says this, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. We are here to reaffirm seven values that made America great and denounce the antithesis to those values. Foreign and domestic policies are important, but politicians won't address the great moral issues facing our nation, and they are many. But our church is better, and this church will. Seven things. First of all, the sanctity of human life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 says, thou shalt not kill. It would better be understood for us if we would say, thou shalt not murder. Every society will be judged ultimately by one thing, and that is, how did it treat people? Our society has turned against children. The sanctity of life was one of the cornerstones of our society and our nation. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But we have abandoned that as a national policy. For the Christian, there's no debate in our mind when life begins. And if it begins when we will look in Psalms 139, that settles the abortion issue. Would you go with me to Psalms 139? And we'll begin reading in verse 13. Psalms 139. And look at verse 13. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. This entire chapter is about babies in the womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, when it was just conceived. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If a baby could speak in the womb, these are the very things that that baby would be saying. Abortion is the absolute antithesis of the sanctity of human life. I want you to go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 27. Deuteronomy chapter 27. And look at verse 25. Cursed be he that taketh reward to slay an innocent person. And all the people shall say, amen. And folks, any abortion doctor that takes money to slay a baby in the womb, it's an abomination. Okay. Second of all, the traditional family. Go to Genesis chapter 2. Book of Genesis chapter 2. And we'll begin reading in verse 21. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs close to his heart and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." The family is God's first institution. It is the basis of society in any society. It is to be valued and treasured. Kids don't need things. Kids need you. The antithesis of pro-family is the enlightened, evolving mindset to redefine the family to mean two or more people living together, and that is not a family according to the Word of God. The Bible defines what a family is. I want you to go with me to Jeremiah chapter 2. Jeremiah chapter 2. And look at verse 19. When we begin to do that, here's what God says about it. Jeremiah chapter 2 and verse 19. "Thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and a bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts." And ladies and gentlemen, this is one of the things that we are dealing with specifically today. Third, the principle of common decency. Go with me to Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus chapter 18. And look at verse 17. Leviticus 18, 17. "Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter, neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are near kinsmen. It is wickedness." I'm talking about the principle of common decency. I'm talking about the principle of just dressing in a way that you don't uncover nakedness. Pornography is a multi-billion dollar industry in the United States. And the United States is the pornography capital of the entire world. Shame on us. It promotes immorality and sexual decadence, and you know that to be so. It is satanic influence that always leads towards nakedness. We talked about that a couple of services ago. The Bible says that we are to assist each other in personal purity. Ladies, you need to be concerned with the way that you dress. And ladies, I commend you for the way that you dress. You dress in a very modest way, and that is good. But let me tell you something. That's not true in every church across our nation. And some people say, "Oh, Brother Gray, those values are outdated and Victorian and puritanical." But the Bible simply calls it decency. We are to dress modest and decent in our lives. Fourth, the principle of the work ethic. These are seven principles that made America great, folks. The principle of the work ethic. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 9, the Bible says, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. I want you to go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. And look at verse 10. For even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. 6 days shalt thou labor. As Christians, we are commanded to help the poor, but we are also encouraged to promote the laborer, to promote our children to be a good worker. In the United States, at some point, we've got to break the welfare cycle. There is integrity in hard work. The very antithesis of the work ethic is laziness. I want you to go with me to Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. We'll begin reading in verse 13. In the book of Proverbs, there's a lot written about the slothful man, the lazy man. Verse 13, the slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. There's a lion in the streets. I can't get up and go to work. That's what they were doing back then. As the door turneth upon his hinges, so does the slothful man upon his bed. He just keeps turning over and over and over. The slothful hideth his hand in his bosom. It grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He's so blooming lazy, he doesn't even want to eat. And it's not because he's married to Tina. Oh, boy. Look at verse 16. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. They've always got a reason why they are lazy. I have a cousin, and we grew up together. We were 6 months apart. And we grew up together, spent all our holidays together because his father and my father were brothers and grandpa and grandma lived in town and we spent all the holidays over there. But my cousin was lazy. And he told me one time, he just said, I'm afraid that hard work's going to kill me. I didn't have a good comeback for him then, but I would now. I would say, listen, no man ever drowned in his own sweat. Get busy. Work. And one of the sad things today, of course, is people are being paid not to work, not to go to work. That's against the principle of the work ethic. Five, the principle of the Abrahamic covenant. Genesis chapter 12, please. Book of Genesis chapter 12. Look at the first three verses in this chapter. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, reference to Jesus Christ. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Throughout history, God has blessed or destroyed every nation in regard to its relationship to Israel. Moses came back from the desert, and he went before Pharaoh, and he said, God says, let my people go that they may worship me. And Pharaoh said, who's God that I'm going to do that? I will not do that. And ladies and gentlemen, you know the plagues that came. It absolutely destroyed that nation and that whole society. They did not even worship for 50 years after all the plagues that hit them. In Nazi Germany, when Hitler and his Third Reich were putting 6 million Jews to death, God just said to Germany, that's enough. And God absolutely destroyed. You've seen the pictures of Berlin after World War II. We leveled it, okay? Since 1948, when Israel raised their flag, the Star of David, over a little piece of land 12 miles wide by 42 miles long. Small piece of land, but it was Israel after 2,000 years. We have supported her right to exist, and we have been her greatest supporter through the years. And that is one of the reasons why God has blessed us in wonderful ways, because we have a right attitude towards Israel. Sixth, the principle of God-centered education. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. We'll begin reading in verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And here's what you are to do with them, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. The principle of God-centered education. Secular humanism, with its main corollary of evolution, has invaded our schools. Evolution is philosophy. It is not science at all. And all that you have to do to understand that and to prove that is the second law of thermodynamics, which absolutely destroys the evolution principle, okay? And we are having to deal with what is being taught, the critical race theory and transgenderism today. God help us. And the schools, have in leadership people that are horrible, horrible people. And last of all, the principle of the protection of your home. I want you to go with me, 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. And look at verse 8. Paul says to this young man, but if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. And part of that provision that is given here is you are to provide protection for your house and for your home. Thank goodness our forefathers understood this principle right here and gave us in our Bill of Rights the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, the right, and it's not only a right, but according to this verse, it is a right and a responsibility to defend your home. And that's true for us all. I'm going to read a quote and then I'll tell you who said it. America was founded by people who believed that God was the rock of safety. I recognize we must be cautious in claiming that God is on our side, but I think it's all right to keep asking if we're on His side. President Ronald Reagan said that not that many years ago. We are to defend our homes. It is one of the principles that made America great. Let's pray. Father, thank you for giving us just clear direction in our nation. And Father, forgive us where we have failed you miserably. Father, we want to confess our sin and forsake that sin. We want to return to these very straightforward seven biblical principles. Help us to do it, Father. Help us to lead this nation on a path back to Thee. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand later.